back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. This is Nick McNamara, Sam Henney on the other side of the glass. In studio with me, City Manager Ron Fear, Mayor Mike Dodson. I was just mentioning, I feel like these breaks are getting really fast nowadays. I'm not remembering how it was when I used to do this a little more regularly. Anyhow, tonight, City Commission meeting for the City of Manhattan, their legislative session, that's at 7 p.m. in City Hall. And you can, I'll tell you at the end a few different ways you can check it out if you're not going to be there in person. But we've gotten through a bit of the consent agenda, and there's two general agenda items tonight. Item A is regarding benefit district petitions for stormwater, sanitary sewer, street and water improvements in the Stonehaven Edition Unit 2 subdivision. Ron, can you tell me a little bit about the petitions?
Sure. And so I'll start with trying to orient folks to where this is. The Stonehaven Edition is up along the southwest portion of Miller Parkway. So if you get off K-18 and Miller Parkway and head west, you see the big water tower there off to your left, if you will, as you're going along Miller Parkway. If you were going to turn right on Amherst Avenue where it tees into Miller Parkway and look left, that's that whole area to your left that we're talking about all the way to the hillside, so and up to the water tower. So it's a pretty big area. It's a mixed use area that's going to have residential. It's going to have senior care facilities there. And so what's going to happen is, or what's proposed to happen and what's been platted and zoned to happen is that Amherst Avenue at Miller Parkway, there's a T intersection now, it'll be extended into that subdivision to the west and south there. And they're proposing to build a roundabout at that location to best handle traffic in the future. And that's one of the benefit district petition item. It's one of the larger items, and it's sorry about that.
No worries at all.
It's designed to handle that traffic and the traffic ways. So there's really about eight different projects here, subdivision projects. It's the roundabout being one. The extension of Amherst into the site is another one. You have corresponding utilities, water, wastewater, stormwater improvements for all of that. And then a unique feature of this particular subdivision is a new park that has a very pristine old pond that's going to be a really unique feature. Because of its unique nature, there's additional stormwater improvements that are designed to keep it in great condition, both from that perspective. And so it's one of the amenities that's being constructed as a part of this process. And so, again, just a number of different projects. All of those projects total up to be just under $5 million. Most of that is being assessed to the benefit district, those benefiting properties, with the exception of the roundabout, which two-thirds of the cost of that, and it's estimated that that cost, I think, is about just under $1 million for actual construction costs. So the city, because Miller Parkway and Amherst are both arterials, we pick up two-thirds of that cost through this benefit district petition. And so that's the issue really before the commission. The commission has had some discussion on this issue before and kind of gave some direction at a work session about these infrastructure projects and the cost sharing involved in that. And that's really where the direction for the roundabout was pretty much agreed to, as opposed to a traditional intersection with turning lanes.
And when it comes to items with so many different projects involved in it, how do you go about discussing these topics? Do you have to break them down topic by topic, or is this all one big package?
I think these are, with the exception maybe of the roundabout, but when a developer comes in with a proposal for a new, let's just call it a subdivision for lack of a better term, these are things we do all the time. In other words, the city, which is rather unique in the state of Kansas, does utility work, road work, curb work, and all the things underneath. And then over time, those are picked up by the benefiting property. So it's, the city does a great job in laying all this out with maps and site drawings and things like that, so you can see exactly where things are going to go and what's here, what's there. And as Ron said, this is has some quite a few different things in it. And this senior living is a great addition for the city of Manhattan, great vista. And then the pond, I think, even makes it better. And so this is going to be a very nice development up there.
Yeah, I might be at that pond every now and then, to be honest. I understand that the way these special assessments will be broken down is based on lot size, but is there kind of a breakdown on maybe what the average assessment would be based on property, or do you not really do the averages considering the variance of those lot sizes?
No, we do. And actually, in the financing section of the memo, it shows that there's 29 lots plus a couple of extra tracts that are being assessed for different components. Again, those final assessments, in this case, about $5.7 million. For example, I think it looks like the lowest lot price assessment is about $412 annually, and that goes all the way up to $110,000 annually, depending. So you have some, again, that would be more like a residential lot compared to a big commercial lot. So, and it's going to vary by size.
I think lot 29 is a pretty good
size. Yeah, that's a pretty good sized tract.
I'm going to look through this and try to find that tract later, not in the midst of it. Would there be a breakdown, a difference breakdown on that, of those prices, whether it's commercial or residential?
Yeah, each petition lays out the type of improvement and then the method of assessment. And so each petition, sometimes they're done on a per lineal foot basis, sometimes they're done on a per lot basis, and sometimes they're done on the square footage of the lot. And so they vary a little bit depending on the type of improvement. You know, for example, the road may have a more significant factor than the stormwater line or the sewer line, that sort of thing. So. But each petition would have what that methodology of assessment is and what those impacts are. And they're in the packet.
Okay, sounds good. And I think the last item on the agenda is relating to some zoning changes around the Aggieville Business District. There's a few interesting things in there, especially regarding building heights.
Yeah, this is really an extension of the Aggieville Community Vision that the commission adopted back in April of 2017, and really led to some of the more significant discussions on the future of Aggieville, with the aspect of the core district, the old existing district of Morrow and Manhattan Avenues and 12th Street, and that particular area pretty much being keeping it the way it is today from a character standpoint as far as those areas. And then looking at the perimeter of the area down with Fremont on the south, 14th Street on the west, Anderson Bluemont on the north, and 11th Street on the east, increasing in density for what can happen. But the primary provision before the commission tonight is there are some provisions that, again, are in the Unified Development Ordinance that's being worked on, but there's some that are specific to Aggieville that were moving forward a little bit quicker, but they will ultimately be in that UDO. And these are things like adjusting some of that maximum structure height, considering minimum heights, massing, floor area ratios in the Laramie Street corridor and the Bluemont and Anderson corridors, adjusting the parking requirements for residential development. So, for example, in the area north of Aggieville, in what we're calling the urban core district, we reduced that parking requirement. I think it was 0.75 or 0.8 maybe. Per unit or per bedroom. And so that was the idea, that you might get more folks, since it's right adjacent across the street from K-State, that may not have a vehicle and desire to live there. There was a lot of discussion about should that same provision occur in Aggieville, and the decision, at least to date, has been to keep that more in the one per bedroom component. And so that's the recommendation moving forward. And then looking at some of the form-based design standards and a certain percentage of the facades needing to have brick or stone or glass and that sort of thing. There is a hiccup in this particular item because there's a project that's under design in Aggieville and the architect was reviewing it, and it's a multi-story building. And so the provisions for the first floor are pretty clear with regard to how the masonry and windows and stuff are to be and the amounts, and the architect wasn't being able to get that to work on the upper stories. And so mainly because they were using a lot of glass, which is a nice modern feature, which is good in most cases. And so, but it, there was a requirement that you had to have so much brick or stone as opposed to glass. And so when they presented this provision originally to the planning board, they didn't have a provision for those upper stories having more glass and meeting the standard. And so we're actually asking the commission to make a friendly override of the planning board to adopt this standard, which certainly makes sense for everybody.
Mayor, what are your thoughts on some of the items included in this?
Well, as you know, we've been working on this Aggieville plan for a long time, and one of the strengths of it is some of the survey work that's been done with the business owners, with a shot with the building owners, and with others who go down into Aggieville. There's a lot of people who've been around the city of Manhattan for a long time who have some views. And so I think we've pretty much got this thing wrestled to the ground. I mean, we've got on the north side there along Bluemont Avenue and then extending up North Manhattan, this corridor of height and kind of what you would see as an entry to the city, an entry into Aggieville or Kansas State University on the east. And then as you get down to Laramie and on that end, you kind of had a bound in much the same way. And then down Central Moro, that's where the 35-foot height comes in. And, of course, the guys have measured that to make sure that people don't have to chop the top of their building off or anything. But that is, in essence, to make sure that we keep the character that is on Moro Street. And then, as Ron said, this facade that we're trying to achieve where you've got arguably 70% coverage of stone or some kind of brick or other plaster-like material mixed with glass and so on is an important element because it provides a architectural theme that will then run either down Bluemont or down Laramie. On Moro. So did I say Leavenworth before?
You did.
Sometimes get those things confused.
Laramie's the area.
Laramie. Yeah, so we're getting development on the other end on Laramie already, which is a great prospect for us.
Yeah, and it sounds, you know, as the UDO comes out, this might end up being a temporary stopgap,
right,
but it'll help out in the meantime.
And it'll be consistent with it.
Fantastic. All right. Ron Fear, Mike Dodson, thanks for coming out today.
Thanks for having us.
I appreciate it so much. And that's going to do it here for In Focus on News Radio KMAN. If you missed any of this episode or if you just want to check out the whole thing again, it's on our website, newsradiokman.com. Head on down to that on-demand section and look for In Focus. Tomorrow, we're going to have some folks from USD 383 coming out. We'll also have Phil Anderson from the Manhattan Housing Authority. And we have a pre-recorded interview I did with Linda Uthoff. She's talking about her show MAME that's coming up in the Columbian Theater this weekend. That's it for today. Have a good one.